come in to worship with us as well. Well, brothers and sisters, if you have your Bibles, your book of instruction before leaving earth, I invite your attention to the book of Acts. The book of Acts, often referred to as Acts of the Apostles or Acts of the Holy Spirit, because we see the Holy Spirit moving a lot in the book of Acts. Acts chapter number 9. If you have an iPhone, an iPad, or an actual Bible that you can flip through, we invite you to turn to Acts chapter number 9. If you have an Android Galaxy, if it's your first time here, you will understand that they are banned because you block everyone else's vision because of how large your phone screens are. But if you have a regular phone, we invite you to join us. Now, Android is obviously the flat screens of cell phones, but Acts chapter number 9. Somebody looked at me weird, like, hold on, Pastor, I got an Android. I can't use my phone. No, just joking. We invite you to stand. Jake, keep turning this down a little bit. It's still a little bit too high for me, so just bring it down a little bit more. Just bring the overall volume down. There we go. That should stop all the feedback. All right, Acts chapter number 9. We're going to begin with verse number 16. It should be on the screen with you as well. Acts chapter number 9. If you've got it, say amen.
Amen.
If you're still looking, say hold up. All right. Acts chapter number 9. I can begin with verse number 17. Here's what it says. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. This is the word of God for the people of God. The word of God is already blessed. As you're taking your seat, help me introduce today's sermon by looking at your neighbor and say, neighbor, this morning's sermon is Reset for God. Okay, that was probably the wrong neighbor. Let's put a smile on our faces. Let's put a smile. And we could have been snowed inside. I mean, God kind of held that. Put a smile on your face. Look at another neighbor and say, neighbor, this morning's sermon is Reset for God. Amen, amen, amen. Will you pray with me? Father, it's once again that I stand to proclaim your word. I pray, dear Lord, that I decrease and that you increase mightily, that these your people would see and hear less of me and more of thee. Take the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart and make them to be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our God, our strength and our Redeemer. Father, I have studied, but I need your strength. I have prepared, but I need your power. I'm willing and I want to, but I need you to make me able. Silently now I'll wait for thee. Ready, my Lord, thy will to see. Open mine eyes and lift me, Spirit divine. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Reset for God. And we are in the final part of a four-part series on reset. For those who this may be your first time hearing this part of the series, I want to share with you, for one, what reset means. Reset means to put something back into an original position, or to put back into place for healing. Reset. To put back into an original position, or to put back in place for healing. There are times when life can be so overwhelming that we need a reset. Sometimes we can be so overloaded that we need God to clear some things for us, that he can reset us, that we may be able to function as best as we can. Reset. I preach from Windows tablet, the Surface, and every now and then, if you have Windows, you know this happens every now and then for Windows, any Windows product, you're going to turn it on, and it's going to say to you, it's going to actually update, power down, and then you have to power back. Now, if you have a Mac, you don't really have to deal with that too much unless you have an iPhone. And iPhone, sometimes they send out new software updates. And if you want to get the freshest new stuff, then you update and you power it down and turn it back on again. It has to, in essence, reset with some new information. Anybody have ever experienced that, where you had to reset some stuff in order for there to be some new information? Brothers and sisters, in life, sometimes God has to reset us. Sometimes God has to get us back on track. It's not that we're not functioning, it's just that God has so much more for us that he can do in us. In order to do that, he has to at times reset us. Sometimes we are doing our own thing, doing it our own way, doing any and everything that we are big enough and bad enough to do. And God will show up sometimes when you least expect it, sometimes what is utterly inconvenient, and God will put a screen up that says, I'm going to have to update some stuff and power you down so that I can reset you. Has anyone ever had that experience in your life when you're running on doing your own thing and all of a sudden you hit a wall and you look up saying, God, what's going on? God said, listen, you was running off doing your own thing. I've got to reset, update some stuff for you, and then power you back up again. I used to have that experience when I was young. I used to run as far as I could, and all of a sudden I felt a hand on my back that was snatching me back, letting me know that my mother or my father was helping me reset my thinking and my actions, because some of the things I was doing was simply wrong. Every now and then God comes in our lives and God grabs us to get our attention to reset us. As we are in this new year, God may be working on somebody sitting in here this morning. You know that for years you've been off track, and God's saying in 2015, this is the year where I actually grab you, get your attention, update some stuff in your life, and reset you. As we are looking at the book of Acts, we see Saul, and in Saul's story, we learn a little bit about being reset. First thing we see, brothers and sisters, is the reset of thinking. Reset thinking. You know, sometimes you can't do the same old thing expecting to get a different outcome. That's often called insanity. You know how it is. You know, you've been dating the same kind of female, wondering why you're getting the same outcomes. You've been dating the same kind of guys, wondering why you find yourself in the same situation. You've been spending the same amount of money year after year and wonder why it is you never have anything in your bank account. It's because we do the same thing expecting a different outcome. In order for us to get something different, we may have to reset how we think about some things. Here it is, brothers and sisters. Saul was from Tarshish. He was born into a well-to-do home. He was a rabbi in the Jewish community, and he was of high standing in his community. Two facts demonstrate his social status. For one, his family, which was of Roman citizenship, and his opportunity to study in Jerusalem. Saul was a well-to-do person. They respected Saul, and he was in love with his religion. He was on the up-and-coming scale of things. Saul, though, was a force to be reckoned with. Saul was one of those individuals who believed he was doing wrong for the right reason. Have you ever met somebody like that? I'm going to do the wrong thing, but I'm going to do it for the right reason. In their mind, it seems to work out all right. Saul was the one who was doing the wrong thing, but he thought he was doing it for the right reason. Saul was a Christian's nightmare. He thought he ought to readjust them, to fix them, and he began to persecute those who were followers of Jesus. During the New Testament era, Damascus had a large Jewish population, and many Jewish Christians ran away from Saul, and they ran to Damascus. So Saul said, you know what, you can run, but you can't hide. I know where you're at. And so he got permission to go them. And so he jumps on his donkey and he says, listen, I am the one that's fixing all these wayward Christians. And so he was doing the wrong thing, but he thought he was doing it for the right reason. He would show up in a church and he would make people denounce their faith. And if they did not, he would beat them until they did. Saul, the name Saul struck fear in Christians. Saul was the one who was a persecutor of the Christians. Have you ever been heading down a wrong road with the wrong people, doing the wrong thing, and God showed up to save you? I mean, some of us were leading others down the wrong road, doing the wrong thing, and God showed up. Some of us here can admit to the fact that we were living a life that was so wrong. Nobody could outdrink me. Nobody could outsmoke me. I did as much and as bad as I wanted to do, going the wrong way as fast as we could. And we had a crew to do it with us, and God showed up. Anybody ever been in that experience where you woke up the next morning saying, God, I don't even know why I'm still alive. I don't know how I even made it home last night, but God was the one that's able to snatch us even in spite of us going down the wrong road, doing the wrong thing with the wrong people for the wrong reason, and God still kept us all. Saul was like that. Some of us ought to thank him for keeping us even in spite of us. Saul was on his way to Damascus. He traveled about 150 miles out of his way to continue to persecute the Christians. Saul got near Damascus, and suddenly something happened. The Bible says that a light from heaven shined around him, and Saul fell to the ground, and he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And Saul says, who are you, Lord? Lord says, I am Jesus, who you are persecuting. We see Saul going down the wrong road, doing the wrong thing for the wrong reason. But God. Somebody say, but God. But God. Saul, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what would you have me to do? In this moment, Saul realized not only his religious views, but his whole religious character had to be reset. That his way of thinking had to be changed. Brothers and sisters, the truth of the matter is that we will continue down the wrong road until we allow God to reset our thinking. We will continue to do the wrong thing until we allow God to reset our thinking. We will continue to say the wrong things until we allow God to reset our thinking. We will continue down a road of destruction until we allow God to reset our thinking. Many of us stay stuck on stupid until we allow God to reset our thinking. Is there anybody here this morning that's willing to say, God, I need you to reset how I think about something? Anybody that's willing to say, God, I've been down the wrong road and I need you to reset how I think? Reset me, Lord. Saul had an encounter with Jesus, and in that moment, his thinking about Jesus was reset. But wait, this is the part that's interesting to me. Check out where the reset in thinking happens at. Saul is on the road to Damascus with some other folk. You missed it. Saul is on the road to Damascus. He still got his boys with him, and the reset happened there. Some of y'all slow, you still missing. Okay, here it is. You know, we watch television shows on the Home Network and things like that where people are doing makeovers. And so there's some time when you watch a remodeling show, there's a story of a man. He sees a house that's dirt cheap. He's a remodeler. He's one of those people who can flip houses. And so he sees a house that's dirt cheap. But the reason that the house is dirt cheap is because though it looked okay on the outside, on the inside, the house had some issues. So they listed the house price very, very low. Looked at the house, did an assessment of the house, and realized, okay, this house needs new floors. Not only that, it gets worse. This house needs new plumbing. Not only that, the wiring in the house is faulty. If I'm going to do anything in this house, I've got to change a lot on the inside of the house. But the man still saw value in the house, and though he could get it at a very, very low price, he knew he would have to change some things. So the man bought the house and invested the time and the energy to change some stuff on the inside of the house. And so the man was willing to repave the floors. The man was willing to rewire the house and to put in new plumbing. And when he put it on the market, that house was more valuable than all the houses around it because something happened on the inside of the house. My brothers and my sisters, I'm simply saying this. When God gets a hold of us, God is able to go in and to remodel and to restructure and to change us, and we can still be in the same environment, but our thinking will have changed. And so the folk hanging with us will say, what's wrong with you? Why you're acting so strange? And you can say, nothing's wrong. My thinking has simply been reset. Why don't you do what you used to do? My thinking has been reset. Why don't you say what you used to say? Because my thinking has been reset. Why don't you act how you used to act? My thinking has been reset. Brothers and sisters, when we allow God to reset our thinking, he can do it even in the midst of the environment that we are in. Bible says God got a hold of him, and the people around him couldn't even hear what was going on with him. Sometimes, brothers and sisters, God will reset your thinking, and the people around you will really wonder what's going on with you. And sometimes they will think you the crazy one when God got his hands on you. Saul's thinking was reset. Tap your neighbor and say, reset your thinking. The Bible says that Saul was led to Damascus, and for 3 days he could not see. He did not eat or drink. Then God spoke to Ananias and said, go to Judas's house on Straight Street. As a matter of fact, you research it, that same street, Straight Street, is still there in the Middle East today, and it's still called Straight Street. Nevertheless, so he goes to Straight Street, to Judas' house, looking for Saul. When Ananias gets there, Saul is still blind. And the Bible says Ananias touched him. He was filled with the Holy Spirit, and something like scales fell from his eyes, and he could see again. Now, I tried to do all the research I possibly could to understand exactly what were the scales and kind of what was happening, what was a medical explanation for it. There is none. Reality is, he was blind, and when he was filled with the Holy Spirit, some scales fell from his eyes, and he could see again. Here's our second point, brothers and sisters. First of all, we see that we need to reset our thinking. Secondly, we see to reset our seeing. Reset seeing. In his book, An Anthropologist on Mars, that's the title of the book, An Anthropologist on Mars, a neurologist by the name of Oliver Stacks tells of a man by the name of Virgil. Virgil had been blind from early childhood. When he was 50 years old, Virgil went under a surgery and was given the gift of sight. But he and his doctor found out that having the physical capacity for sight is not the same as seeing. He had sight, but it wasn't the same as seeing. Virgil's first experience with sight were confusing. He was able to make out colors and movement, but arranging them in a coherent picture was difficult for him. Over time, he learned to identify various objects, but his habits, his behaviors, were still that of a blind man. He had sight, but he still really could not see. The doctor assessed that one must die as a blind person in order to be born again as a seeing person. In other words, brothers and sisters, sometimes God will have to take a hold of us to give us the ability to see, even though we have sight. In order for Virgil to truly see, his thinking had to change from that of a blind person to one who sees. In other words, when we allow God to change our thinking, our outlook on life will change. When Ananias touched Saul, something happened. He began to see. When Saul watched Stephen get killed, stoned to death, Saul had sight. When Saul persecuted the Christians, he had sight, but he couldn't see. When Saul traveled on the Damascus Road on his way to persecute more Christians, he had sight, but not seeing. Let me try to help us out in a different way. In life, you will meet people who will see you, but never really see you. Yeah. Okay, some of y'all didn't really get that. You will meet people who have sight, but they don't really see your value. Yeah. They never really see your worth. They never really see your importance. They really never see who you are in your essence. Some of us grew up in houses where we were surrounded by people with sight, but they never really saw us. We go to jobs and we work next to people who have sight, but they never really see us. We're in relationships with people who have sight, but they never really see us. They never really see our value, never really see our worth, never really see how much potential that we have. They've got sight, but they don't have seeing. Matter of fact, we live in a country where so many people have sight, but don't have seeing. Sight, this is what sight will do. Sight will make you cut funding for schools. Sight will make you argue over a person's ability to have quality health care. Sight will make you argue over the raise of minimum wage. That's what sight will do. But seeing will cause you to value the life of a little boy or a little girl in the school system. Seeing will cause you to care about the teacher's quality of living. Seeing will cause you to value the human being who needs health care. Seeing will cause you to value the man or the woman struggling with low wages. There is a difference between sight and seeing. Saul had sight, but God gave him the ability to see so that he could value Jesus and those who follow him. And when God resets your seeing, you'll be able to see how God is moving and working in your life. When God resets your seeing, you'll be able to align your life with his purposes and his plan. When God resets your seeing, you'll be able to say thank you for all that you're doing in my life. When God resets your ability to see, you'll be able to praise him for the doors that he is opening in your life. When God resets your seeing, you will be able to shout praise your God for all that you are doing. When God resets our seeing, we'll be able to look at how God is moving and working in our lives and celebrate him for. Is there anybody that's willing to say, God, thank you for the ability to see? We have to reset our seeing. Tap your neighbor and say, neighbor, reset your seeing. I'm out of your way. Here it is, brothers and sisters. Final point is this: reset living. Reset living. Paul's life was reset by God. He started out persecuting the church. He started out hurting Christians. He started out hating the followers of Jesus. But God got a hold of him. And God reset his thinking. And God reset his ability to see and to value them. And when that happened, Paul's life was reset. How was his life reset? Paul, the one who first persecuted the Christians, became one of the best evangelists in all of Christianity. Paul was the one who took the gospel to the Gentiles. As a matter of fact, when you look in your Bible or you scroll through the New Testament, Paul is the one who wrote more than any other. What happened in Paul's life was that God got a hold of him, and God was willing to reset him and to use him to God's glory. And my brothers and sisters, Paul is simply an example for us of what happens when we allow God to reset some things in our lives. When we willing to throw up our hands and say, God, in a very real sense, I want you to reset how I think. Life has wounded me so bad that my thinking has been skewed, but I know you're able to grab it and to reset it and put it in a place for healing that I can think how you want me to think. God, I need you to reset my ability to see, not just to value other people, but to see how you are working in my life. If we're willing to do that, my brothers and my sisters, then God is able to reset our living. We have to be willing to trust him with the reset. I don't know about you this morning, but when God reset me, God changed me. When God reached down and was willing to pick me up and to reset me, he put love in my heart. When God reached down, he put clapping in my hands. When God reached down, he baptized me in his Holy Spirit. When he reached down and touched my spiritual eyes and let me see how he was moving in my life, I was so thankful that God was willing to reset me. And when God reset me, I found a new joy. When God reset me, I found happiness in my life. And if you let God reset you, my brothers and my sisters, you too can know what it means to have peace when other folk are losing their mind. You can know what it means to have joy when people want you to lose your joy. When God resets you, you can wake up in the morning and say, God, I thank you for just a new day. When God resets you, you'll be able to look at the world and say, no more sorrow, no more sadness, no more headache, no more heartbreak, no more lying, no more cheating, no more backstabbing, because God has reset me and my thinking has changed and my ability to see has changed. You want to be in the right place with God, my brother, my sister, you have to be willing to allow God to reset you. If you want to see some things change in your life, you have to be willing to allow God to reset you. If you want to see some things restructured in your life, you have to be willing to say, God, reset me. You have to be willing to say, like the songwriter said, all to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. You have to be willing to say, I surrender all. And in that, God can reset us. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you now. And we thank you. Thank you for resetting our thinking. Thank you, Lord God, for resetting our seeing. I admit that I am a sinner. I admit that I have messed up. I admit that I have fallen short. But I accept that you can reset me. I accept that you sent Jesus Christ to die for me. I accept that you raised him on the third day. And because of that, I am saved. I am saved. I am saved. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's give God a hand clap of praise, because somebody has made a decision to allow God to reset them. Somebody has recommitted their life to Christ, and we celebrate them. We thank God for that. Amen, amen, amen. You may be seated in the presence of God. Brothers and sisters, if you are here and you prayed that prayer for the first time, it was really just between you and God, but you really made up your mind and said, God, I'm giving you my life to remake it, to reset it. If you pray that for the first time inside of your worship guide and connect call, simply ask that you check, I've committed my life to Jesus Christ. Or maybe you're here and you prayed it before, but you went off and kind of life got crazy for you and you really wanted to make a decision to recommit your life to Christ. If you pray that prayer as a prayer of recommitting your life to Christ, my brother, my sister, we invite you on the Connect card to simply check, I recommitted my life to Christ. The reason we do this is because we want to share some information with you as some next steps as to how to grow in your relationship with God. So as you do that, we ask you just to drop it in the offering basket or simply give it to us at the end of service as well. Then, brothers and sisters, maybe there's somebody here and you say, Pastor, I'm in church. I've been going to church for a long time. I've accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior. Pastor, I've had a hard week. Or, Pastor, I got a hard week coming up ahead of me, and you're just saying, I need prayer. I need God to help me make sure I have the right sort of thinking. I need God to help me make sure I have the right sort of seeing as I go into the next week. I need God to just lift some things in my life. I want to make this year a better year. If that's you, my brother, my sister, and you want to go before God in prayer, we invite you to come as we go before God together in prayer.